This one verse from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The Lord said unto Moses, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as an ordinance forever." Well, it is Memorial Day weekend in the United States, a holiday that I remember my grandmother referring to as Decoration Day, which is, I guess, related to the original sentiment, which goes back in the South to 1866 and the North to 1868, where Civil War veterans and their families would bring flowers to the graves of the countless thousands that were lost in that battle, and decorate, in effect, the graves of fallen soldiers. And that tradition still continues. I remember my dad growing peonies for that purpose, and the peonies were designed to come into bloom right about Decoration Day, and we made a pilgrimage to the cemeteries. It's a way of using something alive to bring life to what was lost, a decoration. Well, the original Memorial Day, if I'm taking some liberty with the sentiment, I think goes back to this text from the Old Testament, where God says to Moses, "This day shall be for you a memorial day." And the day to which he is referring is Passover, which is Passover is the salvation story in the Old Testament, where by placing the blood of the lambs on the doorpost, the angel of death passed over, and those who were faithful were saved, as it were. Well, the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection is the salvation story in the New Testament. And interestingly enough, on the night before that occurs, Jesus brings back Passover and gives it new meaning. He celebrates Passover as the Last Supper, and at that meal gives us what becomes the Christian link to ancient Judaism, where the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and said, "Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death." This act of reenacting Passover through Holy Communion is a living memorial throughout the generations. Well, that's the image that is in my mind these days. Living memorials. They're sort of pictures we keep in our heads, experiences and ideas that move us forward as much as they do hearken back to what we remember. Living memorials take what was and gives us both energy and insight to move forward. I think that we carry around living memorials in our heads. The first type of these, I think, are living memorials that are, well, our victories, let's put it that way, our winning days and moments. And I'm going to use both literally and metaphorically a baseball image because it's the baseball season. If you were to have asked me as a teenager, what most would you like to do with your life, I would have said I want to play Major League Baseball. Now, that's without any constraints on opportunity and talent and size and all of that. So I never got to do that. But I will tell you that I have one thing in common with every single person that has ever played Major League Baseball or even Minor League Baseball. I have a vivid, living memory in my head of my first home run in competition. This was not AA Jacksonville. This was Church League. Old school softball, 16-inch softball, no gloves, right? Two-thirds of the way through the season, it was a hot, muggy summer day. It had rained all day, so the field was slippery. You had this little window to get the ball game in. And for reasons unknown to me, the stars lined up, and I just flushed one up the middle between the outfielders. And running around the bases, I get almost to third, and I'm starting to slip because the infield is wet. And I'm thinking, don't fall down on the way to home. You're going to get there. I did. Beat the throw. And then it's going to rain, and I'm hoping don't rain out this game because they put the names of home run hitters in church leagues in the paper. They're about this big. I want to see my name in the paper. This was a big deal. This is the first time that it ever happened. Well, the game does not get rained out. I get my name in the paper. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I hit a home run. I got it right. Sadly, I also have an equally vivid memory of the second home run I've hit in competition, which was 32 years later. In the old man's league, it was a grand slam, never mind the story. I have a memory of it because I went online to the Louisville Slugger people and had a bat made to commemorate it. This is just beyond pathetic. But I will tell you what works, and that is to draw hope from the home runs in your life. We have all, now and then, hit it out of the park. At work, at home, with kids, on the softball field. We have hit it out of the park, and we know we can do it. And it's knowing we can do it that gives us hope that we might be able to do it again. Maybe not on command, maybe not every time we need to. But a living memorial in your head to the next time you hit it out of the park. That's what hope is. So we have living memorials that give us hope through our victories. I think we also have living memorials that give us paradoxically, very paradoxically, give us gratitude from our losses. From our losses. Every kid, I suspect, has a friend from school that moved away. And we don't stay with every important relationship we've ever had. We lose friends, we lose touch, we lose track. Sometimes we run away. And I had a vivid memory of a friend with whom I lost touch a week ago. A week ago today was May 22nd. And there was, I think for the first time, a very poignant military celebration, commemoration, held at the Lubbock Veterans Memorial on 82nd Street on the 22nd of May at 10, which is in military time, 22nd o'clock, 10 p.m., at 10:22. So on the 22nd at 22:22, they held a moment of silence at the Lubbock Veterans Memorial to remember the 22 American veterans who every day take their own lives. A very poignant and powerful notion of what it means to honorably serve and to live as a result. Well, my memory of this is my best friend growing up. We played Little League Baseball together. We snuck into hotel pools together. In our mid-teenage years, we went to the municipal pools and tried to see how long it would take us to have the lifeguard throw us out for horseplay, because the lifeguard was really cute. You get the idea. Well, about the time we finished high school, his draft number and my draft number were about 250 numbers apart. So I went to college and he joined the Navy. And interestingly enough, it's poignant today that our opening hymn was the Navy hymn, Eternal Father, strong to save those in peril on the sea. And he was on a destroyer for two tours of duty off the coast of Vietnam, and he had trouble before and came back with more trouble, as did a lot. And we had sort of lost touch. And I don't think I saw him more than twice between the time he got back from Vietnam and I was off at college and we crossed paths in our hometown and the time his life ended about 10 years later at his own hand. And I regret having lost touch, as I regret having lost touch with kids in the neighborhood or even people I know from grad school. And I have no illusions that if we had maintained that relationship in some way, that if we'd kept in touch, however you do that, that it would have changed or prevented how his life ended. But I do regret that I no longer have the opportunity even. But, and here's the paradox, even those regrets over lost relationships leave us with living memorials of gratitude for the relationships we still have. Every relationship is transient and is fraught with peril, but also infused with energy. I think living memorials of lost relationships leave us far less complacent about the relationships we have and ever more grateful for the energy we get from them. Living memorials give us hope leave us grateful and less complacent, and those are two sides to the same coin. And finally, living memorials, literally memories of our loved ones, give us energy. Give us energy to move forward and to generate, well, what we would call ministry. Our loved ones are people who have, are you ready for this? Told us that they love us. And every time that happens, you get a little shot of energy. Sometimes people who have told us they love us are no longer in our lives because their lives have ended. And yet, the memory of them pushes us forward even today. My favorite example of that in my own life is a grandfather I lost when I was 7, who I only have a few memories of, but are uncommonly vivid. And this was a guy whose life circumstances become oddly familiar as I tell the story. Grandpa Lloyd was my grandmother's second husband, who had been married before in a relationship that didn't work out, who had not had children, and by marrying my grandmother, inherited a couple of grandkids, my sister and me. And I'm sure that every time he sat down to play with me after I asked him, he would rather have not, but never refused. And it's those vivid memories that carry me into a relationship that I have with 7 grandkids that I wouldn't have if I had not married their grandmother, you know. So I channel Grandpa Lloyd every time something cool happens. And without elaborating too much, cooler things can happen today than did in Grandpa Lloyd's day when I was 7. We watched Logan play baseball yesterday in Illinois through live streaming video from the complex. I mean, who knew, right? Every time I have that opportunity, it's a living memory to Lloyd. And to every bit of energy I get from that, I find myself grateful. Because our loved ones are not only the ones we've loved and lost, they're the ones that love us still. And anyone who, in any way, with words or deeds, lets you know that you matter, is a source of energy. Anyone in your life who says or does anything that stops you with a smile or gives you a sense of well-being in their presence makes this day and all days, with hope and gratitude and energy, a living memorial day. Amen.